right, welcome back, everybody, to your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. This is Overdunk episode 101. We had an incredible Hundo Burger special last week. Really hope you all enjoyed that one. Some fun Unite Mike's trivia. I had an absolute blast. And I know the same will be said true today, because I am joined by my two favorite people in the whole wide world. Together, we become one complete whole, like when the Power Rangers become the Megazord. It's exactly what happens every week on this show. I'm joined by Bridget and Doomsnacks. Doomsnacks, how you been, my friend? How the game's been out there these days?
Doing good. Games are going well. Haven't gotten to play for a bit. Until last night, probably it was about 6 days off, and got four games in, went 3-1. So we are gently over 1,400 right now, so still good shape for that sticker push.
Okay, I like that. In prime position for it. As long as you hold on to the... I do think when you dip below 1,400, the wind kind of leaves your sails. I can get on board with that. Bridget, how about you? How have you been, and how have your Unite games been these days?
I've been good. You know, I climbed up. I'm an Ultra One now. So I'm really on track to make Masters by the end of the season.
Let's go.
Yeah, I've been busy with real life, boo. But yeah, I've actually been able to play a little bit more the past couple of days. So it's been fun. And since I am kind of what some would consider low on the list, I'm not even on the ladder, I'm below the ladder. But especially for this point in the season, I've just kind of been like goofing around, and I just like kind of randomly decided to start playing Meowscarada a little bit.
So
that's been fun.
Meowscarada has definitely been my go-to central area Pokemon whenever I end up in that role on a team, because mostly when I play solo queue, I fill or I try to get top path, but if I don't have either of those options, I'm like, well, if I can fill into central, I will absolutely play Meowscarada. That Pokemon is a blast. I've been loving it.
Yeah, it's been fun.
That's good. I'm glad you're still having a good time, because Bridget, even if you're a little glum because you're not in Master Rank yet, that's okay. Because we got a brand new Ditto merch drop, everybody. This one's an official Pokemon collab. I know that's what everybody comes to this podcast for. That's right. Pokemon X Color Pop. It's lip gloss, I think. There's some Pikachu. There's some other Pokemon. Whatever. There's a Ditto lip gloss on our screen and an absolutely bumping track.
That nobody
yes,
can
sir.
Hear.
Everyone can except you and Bridget.
That literally everyone can hear but Bridget and I. Bridget, go ahead, break us down on this new product.
I know of the makeup brand ColourPop, but I don't think I've ever actually like purchased anything from them, but they do a lot of collabs, so cool. Ditto on top, man. I will be purchasing. I think it goes on sale in like 2 days maybe, so I will be there. I will be ready. There is also I don't know if you have this pulled up, Zoinks, but there was also a new Ditto t-shirt on the... I'm wearing it, so you don't have to.
Oh, in the Pokemon Center, right?
Yeah, it was the James Turner collab. And there was a hoodie, too, but I got the t-shirt because I liked the yellow. I'm really far from my mic. I don't know if you heard me.
No, we heard. Did it already come in? Are you wearing it right now?
Yes, I'm literally wearing it right now.
Okay, hold on.
I just did it like 20 times.
Yeah,
okay,
perfect.
You can see it though.
All right, there. Everybody can see it in really big picture now.
He's on a boombox. It's actually so sick.
That is an absolutely stellar t-shirt. That's part of the Pokemon Lazy Summer collab. For everybody listening in podcast land who couldn't see Bridget showcasing off the perfect merch, please, Pokemon, send us more free stuff. We are absolutely loving the collection. A summer-based collection, a lot of pastel colors, a lot of fun Pokemon, and of course, Ditto being showcased on a boombox with another Ditto. Pretty fantastic. Some would say maybe that boombox is a third Ditto. It's up for debate.
Yeah, that would be big. Yeah, it's a big summer for people who like Ditto, so
okay.
We're eating.
Good to hear. Dupex, how about you? Anything out of this new summer collection that you're looking to pick up?
It looks great. I just wish some of the Pokemon I liked were on things.
Okay, Pelipper.
I mean, if there was a collection ever, this might be the one. Well, what about this? You got Smoliv on here. You're a big Smoliv fan. What about the Smoliv and Lechonk hat?
All hats fit me awfully. That's why I literally wear the ones I do. So that is what I like to call a zero percenter.
It looks like there was a towel with the design on it.
Y'all ever go on PokemonCenter.com to buy a towel?
I actually have PokemonCenter.com up right now as well as we're going through. I was like, maybe they updated some stuff. They didn't. Of course I know everything that's on those sites. I'm on here all the time.
Oh, yeah. I did want to call it the Ditto Floaty. I really thought about that.
I thought. Bridget, this needs to be in the cart now.
What am I? Where? Where?
New Orleans at NAIC.
Oh, I can bring it.
We are finding a pool and we are throwing the Ditto Floaty into it. It's gotta be. It's so funny.
Okay, that's a good point. Right. Do you think they let me bring it in? Okay, anyway.
So here's a fun fact. The one thing of like decent Pelipper merch they've pretty much ever made is a Hawaiian shirt that has what else on it but Ditto. So I can't even get my own thing. When they finally put Pelipper on something, it's still Big Bridge reminding me who the second best support on this podcast is, yeah. And it's me. So, like, no dubskis for Dupe Snacks. And I do want to quickly shout out Koozie is who I was doing with yesterday during those games, and they were in this chat. So shout out to Koozie with the hyper carry.
Nice. Okay.
Hey, nice.
Shout out Koozie. That's awesome. So, people, obviously, this is your update. It's mandatory. It's at the beginning, obviously, because of importance. It is prime intel that all of you know that there is Ditto drops happening across the globe. 2024 quickly becoming the year of Ditto. It's wild that we haven't dubbed it that already. Who knows? Maybe Ditto to unite this year?
It would actually save the game. I don't know.
Bridget would no life this game more than ever before.
I would personally save the game if they did that.
She would be gone. She would be gone. All right, fantastic. Current topic, Ditto. Thank you, Smim. Yeah. Ditto merch drop is far too long. We need a special graphic. I think if I am going to learn cool transitions and be a happy streamer man, I think I need one for Ditto merch drop to like splash across the screen. That's incoming. Unite Mike's next year. We'll see. For the year of Ditto, it'll be coming in. Who knows?
Okay, good.
I might have to get that surfing Pikachu crop top for New Orleans. What do you think?
Ooh. That'd be sweet. Ooh. Actually, that is one thing that makes me really sad about Pokemon Center is they don't sell like dude size crop tops, which is kind of a bummer. Like they only have women's size crop tops.
That is a bummer.
Which is like, I don't know. Hope they change.
I mean,
that,
what's it? Does it go up to? Like, does it go up to 4X? Make that magic happen.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
3X and it's sold out.
Oh well.
Oh
see?
Well. There you go.
That's a dagger.
That is. 07 for the 3X.
I can't. There's no shot. I fit in a 2X. I fit in an X. I fit in XL like, men's.
It'd be a certain
the shoulders,
look.
I think would be well, depending on the crop top.
It'd be a certain look, for sure. Make that magic happen. It's a really good way to say that too. All right, everybody. So that is our merch section of the episode. I'm glad you all joined us for that. Next, we're gonna be talking about competitive Pokemon Unite. I know this is normally where people bounce off the show, but we're gonna be talking first about Asia. I've been saying this for literally weeks on the podcast. I'm like, next week, we got to talk about Asia. Next week, we got to talk about Asia. And then we literally never have. But finally, they have actually started their Worlds qualifiers. So much so that the Malaysia-Singapore event was last weekend. And they have qualified a new team for the World Championships. Now we have two. Fusion, which was qualified at EUIC. And congratulations to Team MYS for winning the Malaysia Singapore event and qualifying for the World Championship Series, the second team to do so globally, which is pretty hype. Which is really awesome to see. The teams that competed in that event will still have another chance to qualify for Worlds a little bit later on this summer. We'll explain all that for a second. But I wanted to ask, I know Bridget, you 100% watched those games, and I know Dupesnax, you watched the Grand Finals with me, so Bridget, let's start with you. I know you were able to watch a lot of that APAC event. What were your thoughts on the Malaysia-Singapore qualifier?
It was pretty fun. Kind of similar to, I feel like, EU and NA and the other regions, you don't get to see every game on the official broadcast, which kind of stinks. And they definitely focus on the knockout matches. So a lot of like the losers bracket. So really like the main games were kind of like the top three-ish teams. There was there's a team called Only Fun who had a good run through the losers bracket. They like got knocked out immediately and then got to losers bracket finals. They were pretty funny. They would do like sometimes they, you know, have like little quotes from like the players, like they ask them questions and stuff.
Yeah.
And they asked, one of them was like, oh, what is your guys' like game plan or like your philosophy for like playing? And they're like, oh, no plan is the best plan. I'm like, okay.
Just like this podcast.
Another one was like, I don't know, it was like, what's a fun fact about you guys? And they're like, oh, we formed a team because no one else wanted us.
Oh. Yo, I mean, that's Orange Team vibes, though. That's Orange Team vibes.
The cast-offs team. That's
epic. And look at them. Look at them.
Yeah, out here killing it. Pulp up. Pulp up. Which, by the way, believe they are going by a new team name for this weekend, which is kind of surprising. A couple of changes.
Ooh.
I think it's just Orange Juice. But they
that's even better. That is no questions asked, infinitely better.
Yeah, I heard that there was talks of them trying to be the Orange Juicers, but I think that somewhere along the line they're now Orange Juice, I believe. But anyway,
I like it.
Yeah, now they have a new chant: the juice is loose, pulp up. There's a lot of really good things you can spam in chat for Orange Juice, so I'm excited.
Oh,
for that.
Yes.
Just amazing. Yeah, amazing.
Deuce Next, I know that you were able to watch at least the grand finals of that event. I take a look at what Team YS is capable of. What were your thoughts on the team, the event as a whole?
Yeah, so of the games we watched, it's obviously MYS looked incredibly solid, but it almost felt difficult to judge them specifically. Because of how one-sided or lopsided the games felt.
Yeah.
And then, like, you were telling me you went back and watched how they actually got knocked to the loser's bracket to begin with, and it just kind of seemed like a bunch of flips.
Yeah.
Or, like, some flip losses. So they obviously looked strong, but it's hard to tell how strong they actually are given that circumstance.
Yeah.
That being said, I mean, they have punched their ticket. They're qualified for Worlds, and they have some gamers on that team. You know, Rebongs and Yang both having great runs in World Championship Season 1, bringing a lot of experience, you know, like HT, Yemu, we're all sliding out there. So it's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a fun team for sure.
Yeah. I think the players on, so Yang, Rebongs, and Yemu, I believe, are going to be entering the Three Timers Club for World Championship qualifications and attendance.
That's crazy.
Which is pretty sick. It's becoming a pretty elite group. I think year one and year two had a decent amount of crossover, but it just couldn't be all-encompassing because year two was so much bigger than year one. But now we're starting to see the players who are showing up every single time, which is really, really hype that we are now getting to that level of Unite where we kind of got the veterans showing up at Worlds year after year, which is exciting. But Bridget, I think I cut you off. What were your about to say?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. I am not sure. Sorry.
No, all good. But yeah, I loved the event personally. Watching APAC is always one of my favorite regions to watch because they're definitely one of those regions that fit very well into playing their comfort picks and playing the meta just depending on the situation, which makes them really interesting teams gameplay-wise. It feels like their drafts sometimes are all over the place because of it. Like, if any region is going to target ban, it's APAC. Like, they aren't wasting a single ban on meta stuff. Why would we? We're banning your niche pick Mew. We'll ban your Zor, like your Mimikyu. Like things like that are always in the ban sight lines. And then after that, then we start figuring out what the draft is going to become. But as long as we take away your power picks, then we'll go from there. I think that is a really cool identifier. At least that was showing up a lot in Malaysia, Singapore. But one thing I wanted to talk about was the format, because quite a few people don't know how the Asian world qualifications are looking, just because they are a little bit different than they were last year, and they are a little bit different than the West. So I'm going to bring up this graphic on screen. This is pulled directly off of the website for the World Championship Series this year, but so these are the world slots. They're Japan getting three teams, Korea one team, India one team. All of the numbers in parentheses after the teams are how many teams get a paid invite to the World Championship Series. So travel and hotel costs and everything like that covered by Pikachu. Everything else There's only a couple of teams on this list that will have to pay their own way. But I think one team from Japan and one team from the Philippines. But basically, the way it works is that APAC this year is subdivided. So APAC East is subdivided into Taiwan, Hong Kong, and the Philippines. And then APAC West is subdivided into Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, and Thailand. Now, each of those sub-regions will have their own qualification and to award teams world spots, but after all of those tournaments conclude, there will be an LCQ for APAC East and an LCQ for APAC West that all of those subdivisions will play in. They'll basically mix for that one, and the team that makes it out of that LCQ will win, essentially giving one more slot to one of these sub-regions, which is, I don't know, a pretty interesting format. I like the competitive nature of Apex qualification format. It's not really season-based. So it's just like, you gotta win today, and you gotta win now. It's basically made because ACL eats up so much of their competitive year, they can't really have a longer circuit. So instead, the way that Asia primarily works is they have a qualifier, and then if you make it out of the qualifier, you play in the regional, if you will, to qualify for Worlds. Japan, one of the only outside sources of the, like, the only exceptions to this rule, Japan has multiple qualifiers before one regional. I believe they have three in total. It's like two that award some teams and then like an LCQ. And then that will feed into a regional event where they will decide their three teams going to Worlds. But just because they have more players, they basically need to spread it out. I see a question in chat. Does the LCQ allow mixed teams? That is a super interesting question. I don't think so. I do not think that it does. But yeah. Anyway, I feel like I just haven't done a full explanation of that on the podcast before. So if anybody was interested in hearing that, there it is. Bridget or Dupesnax, any comments or even questions about how this format works?
I must say, I didn't know the format until I watched the Malaysia-Singapore qualifier stream, which they have an English broadcast of, and it's super good, nice. If anyone is interested in watching what's going on for our Eastern friends, it is super good.
Yeah,
sorry. That's like a screenshot of a screenshot I took.
Yeah, it kind
of
works. It's fine.
It says the same thing.
Exactly.
But yeah, I thought it was interesting that we have like the subcategories that are like more specific to the regions now, which I like, because I feel like last year when we just kept saying like APAC, or even when we say like LATAM North and LATAM South, I'm always like kind of curious like where everyone is like actually from. So
fusions like primarily Peru, right? Like I think like at least four to five, potentially all five players are from there. So yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, because at one point wasn't there team named Peru?
Yes, their team was just Peru. However, I don't think UCS allows like country names to be your team name, but yeah.
Okay, the second place team for that Malaysia Singapore qualifier was named Okie Dokie. I'm like, that's a Pokemon?
What? I don't know. Hey, there's a world where that Unite admin or whatever was running that tournament didn't know that was a Pokemon.
That is also true.
It's pretty new.
Also just learned that. So there you go. Funny.
Yeah, they're pretty, goofy Pokemon. They're like the new DLC trio. They're the, what are they called? The Loyal like Three. The Loyal Three. And there's Okie Dokie, Pheasantipity, and Monkey Dory.
The three
fun names, not the greatest looking.
Those sound like if you asked your grandma to name Pokemon, that is what she would say, just like in the dark.
Okie Dokie is like a grandma Pokemon name.
Pheasantipity. Okay. All right.
Monkey Dory. I like that a lot. Okay, cool. I'm with it. Awesome.
I agree.
Yeah, Doomsnakes does. He does always do that. All right. So that is the Asia qualifiers. Like I said, the Malaysia-Singapore event concluded this weekend. I think from this point on, every weekend will most likely have some kind of Asian qualifier event because they have a lot to get through. And I believe they're doing English broadcasts for basically all of them. So there's going to be a lot to watch. Of course, that's in addition to Japan. I don't know when Korea's or India are holding their events. Admittedly, the two regions that I don't follow as closely as the others. But it's going to be pretty exciting. Obviously, India made a huge splash at ACL this year, getting second place. So definitely exciting roster. But oh, yeah. And that's one other thing. I've had to clear it up on Twitter a couple of times. Kabi-chans is not yet qualified for Worlds. I know they won ACL, but ACL does not award a World Championship spot, by the way.
Correct.
So, just a heads up. A lot of people were confused by that, I think. So
I almost feel like that would be disappointing if we didn't have Kabi-chans at Worlds, if only to watch Tomato gap people.
He's so good. He feels
we need it.
He feels like season one Blossom. At Worlds a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, tank that just somehow the tank takes over the eyes. Like I'm always looking at that tank player when that team is playing. It's like, oh my gosh. And Tomato
Blossom
is
was
that way.
so nasty.
I think he still plays. He definitely took some time off last year and then he played in the Korean regionals. As a last round.
He was one of the only people still playing Snorlax at the World Championships too, and ruining Koopa portals I'm pretty sure. Don't go check this. Don't get into the statistics
just
here.
Just trust me.
But every time they were on camera for one game. That I was casting with Spraggles, it was there was not a single Hoopa portal taken if the Snorlax was, if Blossom was in the area.
Right, yeah. 100% Blossom rate. Yeah, it's crazy. But Tomato does feel like one of those superstars, right? We've had these conversations after Worlds a couple of times now, but they've always felt a little rocky or there's not much grounding to have them off of. I feel like we are finally entering the phase of Unite where conversations like Rookie of the Year, MVP can kind of become and a real conversation. Rookie of the Year because the game's been around 3 years, so we're finally having there's actually new faces showing up, not just people who were too young to play in UCS and have finally hit that point, but Metallic could be in that conversation, Tomato, and who's their Inteleon player on Kabi-chans, him as well. There's just Flareons is another great option, Cloudbuster saying in chat. There is some sweet options for that conversation, which is really, really cool. And then MVP as well. I will say, I think the MVP conversation gets so much cooler because we have more international competition throughout the year.
Yeah.
So because AOS Cup at EUIC had, it's not just basing on off of one tournament now. We can talk about a player's level at AOS Cup and be Tempo maybe should be the MVP, right? Because of their performance at EUIC and things like that. So I don't know. I feel like it's going to be an exciting round of voting. I imagine they'll do it the same way they did last year, with basically doing an East and a West, which I think is fine. Mm-hmm. I don't see a problem with that. It also opens up the possibility for potentially all-star games, but that would be pretty cool.
That would be so sick.
Yeah.
I would love that.
That would be fantastic. But who knows? I just want more show matches in Unite, honestly. Not at official events, because we literally are trying to stuff as many games as we can into 2 days already. We don't need to have different things like that, but another event. Who knows? That would be awesome.
So sick.
Be so sick. But okay, shall we transition now to regionals, which are going to be happening all around the world, specifically, of course, though, in OC, Europe, North America, LATAM, North, South, and Brazil. At the end of this weekend, we will know the teams headed to Worlds from every single one of those regions, except North America, who will, of course, be playing out their top eight at NAIC in New Orleans in about a month time from the event. So a little bit of waiting time for North America. Same way it worked out last year, but it's still all right. But yeah, it's going to be a crazy event. Format has changed. It always has. It always is. It's always changing a little bit for this year. And I wanted to explain it a bit because I know there was some confusion online and stuff around groups or whatever, but let's just talk about the format. We talked about at the start of the year how the format for the monthly tournaments were double elimination bracket continues from the qualifier weekend into the top eight of the following weekend. That is kind of happening again here. Group stage is round robin from teams who made it from the qualifiers. Teams who made it through the loser's bracket of the qualifiers will be seeded lower. So in those 8 to 16 spots, or 9 through 16 spots rather, teams who made it through the winner's side will be seeded in the 1 through 8 spots. But one big change that I don't believe was there last year is if you make it out of first place in your group out of the round robin stage, you will begin the top 8 the next day in winners. If you make it out of groups in second out of the round robin stage, you will start the tournament in losers. So round robin, even the fight between first and second place is unbelievably important in this tournament. It's crazy. And it is round robin. That guy was asking. Yes. So it is round robin. It's not double elim brackets like they did at EUIC and things like that. It is in fact a round robin format. So slightly different than AOS Cup. I assume Worlds will also be a round robin format. Again, I don't know how you would seed teams properly when they come from different parts of the world and different ranking systems. Like, it just doesn't, you can't. So anyway, that's how it's going to be looking, which obviously is just brutal. Honestly, we don't have to talk about the format and stuff like that too long. I just wanted to kind of explain it before people, before we got into it. But this is one of the changes I'm not pumped about. Like, I don't really understand why we're making the change of top eight being like second place out of a round robin going immediately into losers. It feels really heavy-handed. I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess in the past there wasn't any huge advantage to making it out of group stage in the winner's side of things. Because you're just getting seed, and like oftentimes the top eights are extremely close anyways. Does the seeding really matter that much? I guess could be talked about, but I don't know. It's a change, and it does benefit teams who win more in groups now. It's just, I don't know. I don't know if we need to be benefiting teams that much out of groups. But then again, I guess, why do we even have the group stage? So, all right, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of wishy-washy on the subject. Either of you two have any input on the new format part?
So just to understand, if you are second out of your group, you're essentially starting on the one and done side of the bracket.
Correct. In the loser's bracket of top 8.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking crazy. That is not a good change, in my opinion. And I can almost assure you the reason they're doing that is because we're given 2 days to essentially run 2 gargantuan tournaments. And now that they've priced in this top 8 to be able to go compete because everybody wanted 2 bites of the apple, now they lost it on the backhand on something that actually was worth more. So it's kind of like you get what you ask for, but you're losing out on that portion too, because that's the only way this makes any sort of sense, is strict time. Right.
Well, yes, but every other region operates this way too. Like EU, OC, LATAM. Like, I'm really kind of baffled at this decision.
Well, like, the reason they all act like that is because they wanted NAIC to work like this. Like, they're essentially saying, we need to do this, and to keep this fair, we have to blast it across every other region. It's not saying, let's do it the same all over. I can almost assure you it's, we want to do this, so we need to have more time here. And the only way we can get that to, like, logistically work is to have this bottom half of the bracket be a single elim to kind of crush through, so that you can sandbag your losers finals, grand finals, but then you can flip the other 5 into the other bracket, right? You get them faster, so you can hammer that while you're going through to wrap up this. I mean, it just sounds like a time constraint. This is goofy. I agree. But this is the crow you have to eat for everybody wanting to double dip onto the final stretch. That's what it is.
Yeah. I agree with you. That feels correct. It does feel wild that every other region is getting hit with that same treatment, but maybe time constraints of doing an entire top 8 in one day from like a start to end broadcast was too... No, because we do that for other regions too. Yeah.
I'm telling you it's been how do we make NA work, and then we have to try and keep some level of competitive integrity across our other regions because those have always matched for the most part, and then they just blasted it across all the other regions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, and this is the first time I'm hearing this, so I haven't like chewed on it, but this is just like gut check off the rip how I'm digesting this and what this feels like to me. So obviously take everything with a grain of salt, because you giving me the download right now is really the first time I've been able to kind of like speak on it. And I'm right. kind of putting thoughts as I'm portraying them to everybody out there. But yeah, that's how I think it is. That's why I think it's that way, just off the rip.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just that guy, because like it's round robin to double. It's different. But anyway, Bridget, any thoughts on that?
Nothing really outside of what you guys have said. It is, it made sense them staying in the lower bracket into top eight if it was like it was already a double Elam bracket to begin with, but it does feel like it's like a format change going to groups and then going back to a double. I don't know. It is just odd to me, because like you guys said, what's the point of coming in from the winner's side, like a seeding? Like,
right.
From what I understand, at least for NA, I don't really know how the groups changed from how they were to, I guess, how they are now. But
okay. I think
it doesn't seem to make sense.
Yeah.
Can we pull these up? Do you have a screenshot of this? I can send one to you.
I have it on StarGG right now, so I can bring it up.
Dope.
I can bring it up as we have it. So these are on StarGG's the North America groups. This is the big point of contention that people are upset about. So the groups being unseated is technically untrue. So basically it is Zuckerberg say they qualified their groups. They technically did not. They changed the groups from what the qualification was into group stage. That is true from like what it looked like on the qualifier, how the brackets were going to play out. They changed the group stages today. The main reason they changed them, from what I can see, was to avoid double jeopardy. Basically, they didn't want teams who, like,
to go down for the same murder twice.
Correct. That's criminal. But basically, if a team lost to a team in winners and then went down to losers and then qualified all the way, they would play in the same group as the team they had lost to, because of how the format had worked previously. So they adjusted the seeding of the groups to instead basically flip-flop the bottom half of the teams, just like reverse their seeding. So instead of it, like, so it's like first eight, and then say, the numbers are really hard to explain. I should pull up I should pull up an actual like math part of it, but whatever. For now, that is what they have done. I mean, here's the thing. NA, I will say, is the only region I have seen getting upset about this. Like, they are the only region that are losing their freaking minds about this format change, which is funny to me. It also is all on Exile, by the way. Exile losing their projected match threw a giant wrench in the mix. And because of that upset, it like gets weird and it looks ugly. But anyways, that is kind of where we're at. So podcast listeners are in desperate need of me to talk to them right now. So group one will be Nemesis, You Feel Me, Last Chance, and Exile. Pool two will be Orange Team, Hades, Brave Birders, and Team Hotspot, which I hear, we'll see. Luminosity Gaming, G, Umbra Vulpium, and S5 is pool three. And pool four is Nihao, Team YouTube, Ignorance, and Eruption.
I'm watching kind of everybody smash us in here, and as if we are the ones that dictated these things, like, make it make sense, brother. Obviously you all just heard how I assumed they just randomly flipped the format of this event. So clearly we're not in the know. Like, we're in the same stuff that you got going on, and we're like trying to put into practice things that we can see, same information that everybody else is looking at, and just apply a lens of like broadcast schedule to it, right? That's maybe the only unique spin that Zoinks and I specifically can put on this stuff. Listen, I don't hate it. I'm just going to be flat out, I'm going to piss on everybody's Cheerios here. You'll complain for 7 straight months to be able to compete in the final stretch. You already have your safety net built in. So, like, I know these pools kind of blow, or it's not as easy or as Fisher Price as you thought they should be. You already got your Japan extra ticket safety net, as Spraggles called it. So, you know what? Like, this is the crow you eat when you just go banana lands over something that, like, was a loser mentality to begin with. So, like, I don't know what to tell you. So, like, it sucks. Obviously, it's not as cool as you thought it could have been. The average seed in the groups are 6.5, 8.5. Yeah, cool, Zug. Like, what do you want me to tell you? You already have your safety net to go into the... What do you want me to say?
No, I don't think that, like, anybody is, like, super upset at us. It is the system that people are mad at. And I...
Correct.
I see the average seeding conversation. I totally get it. But you have to remember, you have to seed the teams via who made it through winner's side, who made it through loser side. That's why pool 4 is going to be very lopsided, because a team who made it through winner's side was not projected to do it. So that is like where everything starts, is that Ni Hao qualified through the top side. So that, like, really shifts things around. And it's why wherever Exile ends up is going to lopside a group in a major way. Because they're like a top 4, 5, I think top 4 team by championship points quality. So wherever they end up is going to make that team way stronger. Third seed. They're third seed in championship points. So yeah, wherever Exile goes in any of these pools, it's going to shake it up. So here's the thing. I get where people are coming from about how these pools can be, like, they're unfair. It is how the format is lined up. And had to be changed to avoid double jeopardy. Like, I see the line they had to be into it. I think the only thing is, like, the conversation becomes, should we be, like, leaning into just allowing double jeopardy to happen in groups then? So, I guess there's the...
Yeah, so, like, and also what goes into just, I mean, all of these teams have literally had revolving players, right? Mm-hmm. Almost all of them. And, you know, again, like, we didn't have a bracket lock this time around. We did have one before regionals last time. Was it May or something? Like, I know we didn't have a May cup, but we had a bracket lock at some point in time where the teams had to stop changing. Yeah. How much does that go in? I don't know. I have no clue. I really don't.
This is weird, though, that G and S5 were in the same group, though, with this same logic. Because they did play each other in bracket. Which is very strange.
Listen, all of that to say, does this make sense to me off the rip? No.
Uh-huh.
It's the karma circle closing on you. I don't know how else to explain this in a way that makes sense, because obviously everything we've seen by numbers doesn't. I get that. But neither did arbitrarily switching the final stretch to include the 5 teams from the top 8 that didn't get to compete, and then switch the script there and get a free ride to the top 8 there and start to rinse on the 3 teams that have to fight through an entire bracket and immediately get put in the bottom part of that one. So, like, what? I don't know. Like, you already have your safety net. How many nets do you need? Like, what? Like, what champion mentality is, well, I wish I had it easier here, and I wish if I lost too many here, I had another chance over here, and then I could... Are you trying to win? Are you trying to be a world champion? Or are you just trying to cheese your way to Hawaii? Because if you're trying to make your cheese your way to Hawaii, then all of your language in here makes sense to me. If you are actually trying to become a world champion, win games. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. The format switch is terrible. I certainly won't defend that either. But, like, at the end of the day, you got to win games. So that's it. I don't know. That's all I'm gonna say on it.
All right. Fair enough. Let's, before we even get to NA, though, we should talk about EU. It's kind of the trend that we have done in terms of which tournament we hit by my. So for the group stages for EU, pool 1, or group 1, I don't know why it says pool on StarGG, but pool 1 is Nouns Esports, Las Carucados, Capybabas, and Verloren? I'm going to Ron Burgundy that so much on broadcast if they make it. Yalla Bingo, Cinco Galema, Anlaha Esports, and Neo Century Red are in Group 2. Group 3 is going to be Talibobo Unleashed, Connoisseurs, Zero Scrims, and Tadake. And Group 4 is going to be Vamos, Warlords, Zmog, and Patati Stock. Stack. Why did I say stock? Okay. I'm getting names all confused already. So, Bridget, I gotta ask, do we have a group of death in EU? Are any of these groups looking like, oh, damn, that group is insane?
So listen, I don't know what happened in EU. I watched Village of Singapore.
Yeah?
I know what's going on there. Yeah. I'm lost without Chris Hero streaming it. I'm not going to lie to you. So.
Yeah, we are a little bit lost. That is true. Pump only streams the French teams. It's, you know, it's...
Right? Tough. Like, what am I to do?
Any help from chat is saying that Pool 3 is by far the most stacked. So let's take a look. We got Talibobo Unleashed. Yeah, it's always listen to chat. Look at the rosters of Group 3. Okay. Okay, Talibobo Unleashed, Zervis, Shelvin, Zante, Megu, and why am I? Utah. Of course, which we know and love this team already. We have the Connoisseurs, which is Starzerg, Gek, Klaus. Dang, okay, yeah. Lukita, Snow, Galaxy.
You know what this... Okay, you just read them all through, and I'm going to throw a lobby, a loft, a theory at you.
Okay. And then Zero Scrims, which is Kid Tans, Geese, Callie.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. And then Tadake, Isolde, Chara, Zagreus. I mean, other players I definitely know and are extremely good. Holy crap. Yeah, this is the group of death. Oh my god. Group of knockouts. So sorry. Deuce Next, what was the thought that you wanted to hurl at me?
Teams forming like this with names we recognize from days past means that there is blood in the EU water, and all of these players think that they can get a free ride. Like, they think there is, the competition is open, that they can fight their way through and have an actual chance here and have like a real percentage Hail Mary chance, because the region pretty much buckled last year at this point in time, because it was pretty set on who was like the front runners. But now now there's a feeling of everybody can throw their hat in the ring and feel like they have a confident opportunity here.
Okay. So I have to imagine the two teams you were kind of assuming that is with Connoisseurs and Zero Scrims, right? Like, is the Gekko Kami and Klaus stack on one, and then of course you have the Geese, Kid Tans, that whole crew on the other. Okay, that is totally fair. I think that's a fair criticism. One thing is, only two teams can make it out of this group, so they are going to have to compete against each other at the very least to see who will be able to make it out. And then, of course, Tadake is a really sick team. I don't think that we should be sleeping on this team either. Enyot's on this team and saying that it's looking crumbling in chat. Yeah, there is a greater conversation to have about EU. It definitely feels like, I guess, a three-horse race between Yalla Bingo, Tally, and Nouns Esports. Obviously, they're all in separate groups. I wouldn't say it's a huge... a huge moment to say one of those teams will most likely, or all three of those teams will most likely be making it out of the groups. And I think by championship point standards, if any of them make it out of groups, I think they're locked for Worlds. At least two of them, obviously, because EU gets two championship points world slots. So I have to imagine. I think that is the group to watch in EU. I don't know if it's particularly close, honestly. Pool 3 seems insane. Keep your eyes peeled for that one. Fortunately, official broadcast will not have any EU group stage games. Day 1, we are only going to be covering NA group stage. We're going to cover as many NA group stage games as we can. And then day 2, we'll be covering all of EU's top 8. We'll be doing the top 8 broadcast there. So, we'll definitely be doing that side of EU, but I'm sure people will be streaming it. Maybe not Chris, but somebody. I think Chris still does like watch party a little bit, but I don't know if he does spectating. But
He'll do watch parties, but not. He said he was only doing them for like finals, so maybe we'll do them for this.
Maybe We'll see. We'll see. I'm sure there's some EU creators out there.
I'll have to spam his chat. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I think so. I think you'll have to. Yeah, that's definitely the group to watch. Pool 2, Yellow Bingo, Cinco Neo Century Red, and Anhlaha. I do think that is a one that could be really exciting. I think Yellow Bingo is kind of a lock to make it out, but Cinco, Anhlaha, and Neo Century Red are all decent teams we've seen go pretty far. I think Red and Cinco Glembo have both gotten top eights before, so we could see a bit of an upset. We could see Cinco Glembo getting beat out by one of these two teams. Same could happen in Pool 3, obviously, though. And Z-Mog! Love the team. Love that they're all blank Mog. I think that's hilarious. The letter team is gone. A through L is now Vamos, but it's kind of because the roster is slightly changed from what I can see. So it's Rekko, Bordy, Oskitar, and Krinsky, and I think is Kato new? And Reese is off? I forget.
Sounds
exactly.
Sounds like it.
But anyway, going by a slightly new name, which at least will help us casters a little bit. It's Vamos. With three
wow.
S's, though. I like that we're still getting a lot of letters involved, even for a short word. I gotta say. Keep the flavor. Oh, Kato was always on the team? Okay, thank you. And yeah, so same roster, new name. Very cool. Any more thoughts on EU before we transition to NA groups?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, yeah. Sounds good. Okay. Actually, before we transition away from EU, I was just thinking, this is a region where we are literally going to know who wins. So why don't we just quick roundtable hot predicts. Who do you think gets first place in the EU regionals in day two? Bridget, go.
Who do I think gets what?
Who do you think
ones?
Wins? Who do you think wins regionals?
Oh. Maybe I'm gonna say Tally.
Okay. Deuce next.
Just for drama.
Oh yeah.
I'll split the EU power vote. I'll say Nouns.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So you're going for the Nouns back to back. It feels like EU is a bit allergic to back to back. So I'm not going to go with the Nouns esports. I'm going to choose Tally Bobo Unleashed. Come on, Tally Bobo's got that bounce back. Yellow Bingo always a contender, but I just think it's regionals, these teams are locking in, and I am going ABC. I picked them to win the last month and they lost, and I have this thing where I never forgive, and that's where we're at now, so I cannot do it for EU. But there we go, there's our predictions for who's going to win EU. Jumped in North America, though, this is where things get a little wild because of all the stuff we already talked about on the podcast. But first up, Group 1, Nemesis, You Feel Me, Last Chance, and Exile. Pool 2, Orange Team, Hades, Brave Birders, Team Hotspot. Pool 3, Luminosity, G, Umbra Vulpium, and S5. Group 4, Ni Hao, Team YouTube, Ignorance, or Eruption. The final rosters. Let's jump into Group 1. We can take a look at this four rosters. We have Nemesis, You Feel Me, Last Chance, and Exile. Dang, this is a crazy tough group. extremely tough group. I know Exile took a loss to kind of a no-name team in Ni Hao in that early run, and made this group a little wild, but here we are. Nemesis is here. You Feel Me's here. Last Chance is here. You Feel Me's roster is Beast, Breezy, Barn, Ducky, That Crew, Last Chance, Tybasol, Default, and That Company. So extremely strong teams. Since we will not see the top eight of this, I think we can go into a little more in-depth of the groups throughout North America. I do think that this, I mean, by seeding-wise, it's obviously the hardest one. I think on paper, you just have to say this is the toughest group. Dupes next. What two teams do you got carving their way out of Group A?
It's really it's hard to call. I think I'd be a space cadet not to say Nemesis. I think they've just kind of led the NA pack in terms of consistency, being able to show out and show up, you know, even on the big stage here. So I think if they get to, I think I literally saw somebody post earlier, I'd rather face them now than face them on LAN later.
That was Slim on Twitter. It was a good call.
Yeah, it was a solid read. My heart wants to say You Feel Me. Obviously, Exile has had a decent track record here. They just added Koozie, who's somebody that I play with that I have a lot of respect for their game. This is tough. I'm gonna have to go. I think I have to go with Nemesis and My Heart, You Feel Me, Koozie. I'm sorry.
Okay, interesting. All right, so you got Nemesis over you and You Feel Me. I'm assuming you're going Nemesis with that first spot, You Feel Me with that second spot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go interesting. There. Interesting. So basically, I think what a lot of this group, I do think Last Chance is made up of some very, very good players. I'm just, in my mind, they are the weakest of these four teams. So I think a lot of the tournament of this group comes down to You Feel Me versus Exile. This game feels so unbelievably important. I could be wrong. I mean, Nemesis could stumble. Last Chance could go on a crazy run. Like, this could all be changed. But just on paper, that feels like the most important matchup of this group. It's going to be a crazy placement game. And in that one, you're Deuce Next. You're essentially saying, and I'm putting words in your mouth, that You Feel Me could take down Exile in that game. But
I unsarcastically think any one of these teams can beat the other one. Like, if you even said, like, Last Chance beat Exile, Last Chance beat Nemesis, I'm like, man, things had must have gotten goofy, but, like, there are some skilled players on Last Chance, right? Like,
yeah.
we've talked about Tyvus All, Default, Hollow. Like, these are not unknown quantities in UCS. Mm-hmm. I mean, this bracket is, or this group is, it's Smash Mouth.
Nuts. All right, Bridget, how about you? Who you got coming out of this group?
Yeah, I feel like we have to put our stock in Nemesis. They've, like, more than proven themselves and their consistency as well, even in tourneys like back in January.
Yep.
It's tough because I believe in Ducky on You Feel Me. Oh, I really do, but it's hard.
Demon. Absolute demon.
it's hard to bet against Exile when they have been more consistent just throughout UCS overall. But, I mean, you never know. I'm thinking it will be Exile.
Okay.
They've just kind of
going with the safer money, for sure.
Yeah, they're just kind of a consistent, like, top six-ish team, so. Okay.
All right. Yeah, I think that's really fair. I'm going to choose Nemesis, and I am going to go with Exile as well. I love that You Feel Me roster. I love a lot of the players on Last Chance, too. Like, there's a lot of, like, I don't know. I'm cheering for those two teams, like You Feel Me and Last Chance, but I like players on all four of these teams. Like, it genuinely, the only thing that is making me pull at the Exile direction is because all of those players have experience on stage now in a couple of events. The vast majority of them played at NAIC last year, and they played at EUIC when they traveled for the event. That's a lot of extra experience, and they're just like, I mean, their championship noise numbers, like, I mean, they want to lock this in. So I think the XLS just has too much to play for at this point in time. I think there's just too much, and they're going to be able to move on. But let's move on to Pool 2. These rosters, Orange Team, Hades, Brave Birders, and Team Hotspot, Zugrug and company, Anonymous of Company, Rhydon Deez, and of course Parasite's team in Team Hotspot. I do think it's very funny that the only team with a profile picture on the screen is Orange Team, and it is in fact a purple circle. So, that is, I know they're trolling us every single time. I already started with Deuce Next last time. I can start with this one. Make a note of this one. I'm just going to go classic Orange Team and Hades. I think these teams are both really fantastic. I think Hades is catching some sick momentum right now. I got to watch a little bit of their games in the open qualifiers, and admittedly, they didn't have a very hard, like, not a super hard run, but they were able to take out Divine Void, Fell United, who are some players I do definitely respect, and then Umbra Vulpium, who's also in this group stage, a strong team. They were able to 2-0 them, so I don't know. There were no super easy matches throughout that run, so I definitely think this roster could be a big swing. So I'm going to be pulling for pulling for Hades and Orange Team. Which are the two highest seeded teams in the group, which is, like, not super exciting, but that's where I'm picking for group number two. How about you, Bridget?
Yeah, it does feel like I just don't see Orange Team has a lot of momentum, I feel like, coming off of the last regional. They just look really clean. I know they had some close matches. I did watch Ender's stream of qualifiers, or watch, I listened. I was in a car, go figure. There were a couple close games, but they always kind of seemed to clutch it out. I know they were playing with Stockings instead of Otter. But Otter, I don't know if he's back this weekend or if he'll be there for top eight. I'm not sure.
Won't that be on? That'll be on LG though.
Oh! I'm silly.
Yeah, Stockings. She'll be playing on LG. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm all trolling.
Good. No.
But yeah, I feel like I didn't really see any of Brave Birders, but they're just like so consistent.
Yeah, they're just like the they're sneak, at every in-person event. It feels wrong to not predict Brave Birders to go to NAIC. It just feels like they will be there. Colin Tang always makes sure he's at in an in-person bracket. It just feels like it.
Yeah, they're iconic. So I totally agree. Hades has had like really good potential, and even Hotspot. I did watch listened to some of their games from Industream, and they seemed to be in prime shape too. So it really does feel like a coin flip, but I want Brave Birders.
Fair enough. Brave Birders is NA's local team. I like
it's
that.
It's so true.
We had a localized franchise, Brave Birders should be representing NA. I like that a lot.
Yeah. I love them.
I mean, I can probably guarantee they're already signed up for the final stretch too. Like, this team ain't missing an in-person event. So, I think we're going to get our fair share of Brave Birders no matter what. But, all right, Doom Snacks, how about you? Or, Bridget, did you even say your actual prediction? Were you going with 1 and 2 as well?
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Orange Team and Brave Birders.
And Brave Birders. Okay, sick.
I just gassed them up.
Of course. You got it. You got to. How about you, Doofmax?
I'm going to be lame just like you are. And I'm going to say Orange Team and Hades. It's hard to deny the track record, but I do always love a good Brave Birders story. Again, it just kind of makes it difficult when speaking to all these NA teams. I mean, we have relationships, like individual relationships with a ton of these players, right? So like anytime we pick one, I almost feel like I'm like, you know, slighting someone else, but I'll go.
I mean,
I'll
every time I pick one, every time I pick one, I get DMs about the others, right? Like, so it always happens. But sorry, I cut you off there, Dupes. Next, though, final picks:
Orange Team and Hades.
Cool. All right, Group 3. This is Luminosity Gaming and their brand new look with Stockings added to the team. So Lutano, Stockings, Overlord, Joey, and JL, and then. Who else did I have? Is also G is in this same group. So we will have G, which is Slash's new team. It's kind of Slash and GT kind of combo together. So it's Slash, OG, Eggnoob, Black is also on this team, I think. Umbra Vulpium, got True Blue, Kiro, Riker, Egoist in the company, and then S5 as well. Supa and Q is two shorts roster. Absolutely clutch. Supa put out a pretty cool post on Twitter about it too, just being like, you know, basically screw the haters. So I finally made it to group stage and like killing it out here. So, I mean, I'm a Supa fan. Back to the good old days when he was playing acoustic guitar on street. I'm here for Supa. I'm here for Supa on the grind. So I wish them all the success. Yeah, LG versus G grudge match. Gonna be hype. That's gonna be a good one for sure. Slashcan versus the old banner. Dang. That is a pay-per-view level matchup for sure. S5 versus G on the salty run back as well will be pretty cool. I can't wait. It'll be awesome. But yeah, let's start. I'll start with this one. I'm just going to do Luminosity and G. I think they're both very good teams. So those are the two teams I'm picking up, making out of groups. How about you, Dupes Next?
Yep, LG and LG and G. God, we need to have a tutorial for these people on how to make team names. Good night.
Okay, counterpoint though from chat, Doomsnax. Ducky saying loser has to remove G from their name. I think it's very funny.
I agree. Hard agree.
Luminosity aiming or.
That's Luminosity amming. or Taylor Swift Blank Space.
Exactly.
That's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to be lame.
Cool. How about you, Bridget? Any wild picks? Big Umbra Vulpium supporter?
Honestly, hasn't Umbra Vulpium top aided before? They're not. They've been cooking.
I don't think they've ever top aided, but they've definitely hit, like, they've been on constant winning ends. They're a very consistent top 16 team. So
yeah, I'll rewrite the record and say they have. So I'm not a liar again.
Roger.
Thank you.
Oh, maybe they did hit a top. Now I'm questioning myself. We'll have to
that, but... I see. If I just gaslighted us, then I can be just as smart as you guys. So
yes, like girl boss. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
But other than that, I am a fan of the S5 roster as well, but I gotta go with what I know as well and go with LG and G.
All right. The G matchup. Fair enough.
Yeah, I can't wait for you guys to just say that.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
The G matchup.
All right. The final group. Group D. And oh boy, what a group it is. We got Ni Hao, Team YouTube, Ignorance, and Eruption playing for two top eight spots. Ni Hao, Duskrunner, Yap Yap Yapper. I think they used to go by Blush, but it's now going by Yap Yapper. Bits, Kirtan, and Awo all on this team. What, Bridget, was I wrong about that?
I didn't know who that was, but hearing that it's Blush makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Does it fit? Okay.
Well, they always change their name.
I see. And then, of course, Team YouTube needs no introduction. We know this roster. We love this roster. They are playing with Chaotic again, though, in the attacker role. Obviously, Otter had moved on to a different team and is now taking a step back as Stockings is playing on that team. So, anyway, Team YouTube playing with Chaotic this time around. Ignorance, a team we are very fond of here on the Unite Mics channel. They play in so many of our events that we're casting, whether it be Underdunks or Mayhems or whatever it is, so we definitely know Ignorance. And then Eruption, playing with a slightly different roster, has got Tamatama on this team, Sylvanor, Rezaya, Doritos, and I am Squillium. That is the Eruption team. So a bit of a toss-up group, I think, in group number four. But Bridget, do you want to be the first one to pick two teams to make it out of this group?
Sure. I am thinking, I think my obvious choices would be YT and Ignorant, just based off of what I'm more familiar with and who I've seen.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Ni Hao going through winter side is kind of crazy.
Yeah. A lot of people are gassing up Ni Hao a lot. I mean, they were able to beat Exile. What was that game? What was the final score? 2-0'd them too. Sheesh.
Yeah.
2-0'd Exile?
That's okay. Super impressive. Yeah.
Okay. Ni Hao to the moon? Are we how far are we taking this? I'm into this. Oh man. Okay. Yeah. And then their run was Inting for Stacks. That's Evil Karan's team. That's awesome. And then Waddle Choo's team beating Last Second. Okay. Very, very cool. Also, big shout out to Pika God. Thank you so much for the raid. Fortunately, we're not doing any LATAM group predictions. Maybe we should, but we wouldn't know enough. So just a U and an A for tonight. But thank you so much for the raid. Okay. So you're going with YouTube and Ignorance. No Last Second. Chat has not convinced you for Ni Hao.
I don't know. I feel like I'm getting dragged to filth in the chat, so...
That is true.
I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Fair enough. Okay, how about you, Deuce, next?
I'm going to have to go YT and Ignorance.
Okay,
for this one. Go with the known quantities again. Mm-hmm. I think that matters on moments like this, so I'll defer to those two squads.
Cool. All right. I'll do it. I'm giving YouTube the number one spot. That's fine. I literally never give them the number one spot. So maybe now it's finally the time. I'll give YouTube the number one spot out of this group, but I'm going to choose Ni Hao as my number two. I don't know. I am convinced. I am loving this team. Honestly, I think Blush is an incredible player, whether they're going by Yap Yap Yapper or Blush, whatever it may be. I think they're a sick player. So I'm excited to watch them play. I'm sure the rest of their team is also fantastic. I don't know too much about this squad, but the energy in chat is undeniable. So I think I'm just kind of locked in on that lineup. So yeah, I think that is that brings us to the end of our EU groups discussion, our NA groups discussion. We talked a little bit about the Asian qualifiers, and those are ongoing. Folks, there's a lot of Unite to watch upcoming. There I guarantee is. It. There's all that. And I know with a little bit of time in between some of these events for UCS, I know grassroots events are going to hit the ground running as well. So the lead up to Worlds is always a very, very exciting time in competitive Pokemon Unite. So people should get pretty excited about what's to come in the coming seasons. I personally can't wait. But anything else you two wanted to mention before we close up shop?
I don't think so.
Follow at Big Bridget on Twitter.
That is so true. That is so true. Bridget, that is a really good point. Your socials have already been plugged, but I gotta ask, is there anything else that you want to plug on the broadcast?
I know Zlix was trying to goad me to plug.
I actually only thought of it like right after I finished the sentence. It's like, oh yeah, she does.
Oh, you just sounded very like,
I was doing a bit because he already vouched for your Twitter, and I was like, I don't know what else you would. Oh, actually,
I was like,
yeah.
I'm just like, whoa, I'm being called out.
Yeah. Of course, it's your Instagram page that you're like viral on.
No, not that. No, okay, now we're digging too deep.
Okay, fair. Go ahead. Floor is yours.
Me and a bunch of other Pokemon content creators from across a lot of the different franchises, like VGC players, Shiny Hunters, et cetera, are all playing Valorant on Saturday. None of us know how. And our Unite representation is me and Psyche. So it's going to be really good. but it starts at, I believe, 4 p.m. EST. I'll be posting about it a lot. So
sick.
Should be good.
I can't wait. Obviously, yeah. Click some heads, Bridget. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, Deuce in between the UCS games. Watch
Of course. Of course. You got a mobile device and a laptop. Use the other one. All right, Deuce Next. How about you? What would you like to plug?
Yeah, you got it. We're sorted.
All right, fair enough. One final plug. If you were listening to this on Twitch, make sure to check it out on YouTube or any podcast platform. And if you are on either one of those, make sure to check out the others. If you're watching on YouTube, we love it. When you like, subscribe, leave a comment. We got a lot of love for the last video because we're doing some Phalanx giveaways. But if you have anything to say about the groups or anything like that, what you're looking forward to for regionals, what teams you think are going to win, make sure to post it down below on this video. We'd love to hear from you. But other than that, we're going to be back next week with the results of all the craziness that happened in regionals this weekend. I can't wait. I know you can't either. So we'll see you all then. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next time.
It turns out if you say very tepid things online, people will go crazy, as it turns out.